The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time to hear the truth, unfiltered. It's Sean Salisbury, unfiltered. He's played football, baseball, and basketball. He played pro football for 10 years, and he's been a broadcaster for 12 years. Now he takes it to the internet radio airwaves. Get ready for sports talk like you've never heard before. Now, here's Sean Salisbury.
Well, good Monday morning. Is your voice almost shot after this weekend to yesterday? It's running around, traveling, bad weather to good weather. Cold to hot, hot to cold, back to hot. I guess around the country we're begging for that heat right now, aren't we? This is a two-hour show dedicated to Super Bowl. And rightfully so. Maybe not for those 400 or so fans that had temporary seats that got screwed and said they were treated abominably in Dallas and had to watch it on a TV screen in a room and weren't taken care of food-wise, won't be reimbursed for their travel, but just for their seats. They didn't get to watch the game in person. Coupled with the weather, maybe, and I live in Dallas, it may take a while before we get a Super Bowl back there in Dallas. But a few things came to fruition that you won't see very often in a game. Two in particular. Ben Roethlisberger missing open receivers and making bad reads on the final drive when the game's on the line, when most people thought, uh-oh, here we go. And a team winning a Super Bowl running the ball 13 times. If that's not evidence, folks, you Aaron Rodgers haters, that this guy now belongs in the same breath with the great players in this league, then you don't know football. You just don't. Been telling you since last year, well, since this show started in the summertime, that this guy is not only an elite player, but a special player and a unique player. And when you mention the names Manning and Brady and Breeze, he belongs in that breath. And he sure as hell does, because he's loaded team on his back and took him to, and won a Super Bowl all season long, loaded a team on his back. At no time can I remember a team going so far without so little running the football all year long. And the third thing that you won't see very often is two of your star veterans on both sides of the ball missing the second half of a game and your team still winning against a team who rarely loses in the Super Bowl. That's Donald Driver and Charles Woodson. Ankle and a collarbone. Unbelievable. It may not have happened, but it wasn't one of those pretty performances. But you also can't turn it over three times and expect to win. Two picks, laying it on the ground, Mendenhall on a great play, and Clay Matthews is all over the field, as always. The Green Bay Packers will be back in this game, and sooner than later. It's a good football team, folks. If not the youngest team in the league, they're not third. Now, I know there's, I don't like Aaron Rodgers, folks. You may not like him, but if you don't think he's got game, because you want him in your city, unless you're about maybe three other quarterbacks' teams in this league, you'll take him. But this game stuck out to me as, you know, the best team won. And I figured they would in the game. The most shocking thing for me was Ben's inability on the final drive, because I was sitting next to a friend of mine And when Pittsburgh was driving, and before they kicked the field goal, when they were down there, and I said, oh, it's going to make it 31-26. I take that back the other way around. When Green Bay didn't get in the end zone, got the touchdown, it was 31-26, 31-25. I looked at my friend and said, a minute, or right around 2 minutes, I said, this script's too good for Ben Roethlisberger. Plays right into his hands, exactly. And I'll guarantee there was a calm on the Pittsburgh Steelers sideline saying, we got him right where we want him. We're down 6, 31-25. Defense held, so they had to kick a field goal, Crosby did, to go up by 6 instead of 7. Or excuse me, it would have been 10 at the time because they were up by 3. It's 28-25. Pittsburgh defense stiffens, and it's now down 6, and you're thinking, uh-oh, Ben Roethlisberger is going to have the ball in his hand. Because I've been saying, if he has the ball in his hand in the last drive, there's been no better closer in football, period, over the course of the last 5 or 6 years. And when I say closer, a guy who, when the game's on the line, finds a way somehow to win. But three things perplexed me on that drive, the final drive of Pittsburgh. One is two different decisions by Ben that if he'd have thrown the ball in the flat, easy first down, running for yardage. Unlike him, forced the ball down the field twice, you know, almost a pick-offs, one an overthrow. If you look back at people underneath, this is what you always tell quarterbacks and patient ones, and Ben would usually make this play. Don't pass up an open receiver underneath to go throw the ball down the field. The drive may have still continued had he had done it, and it's all about decisions in games like this. And unfortunately, on a couple interceptions that Ben threw, the interception for a touchdown, poorly underthrown, bad decision, but on the final drive, on two plays in particular, had wide open receivers underneath. On the final play, on 4th and 5, if he throws the ball to the flat, it's not only a first down, turns it up the sidelines, gets a handful more yards, steps out of bounds. And then why on 4th and 5 with confusion lining up with a timeout, why they didn't use the timeout? You had plenty of time on the clock. You know, you're a minute and something, minute and a half to go or whatever it was. Use the timeout. Believe there was one left. Get your people lined up and then go play. They were having trouble lining up, barely beat the snap of the play clock. Doesn't throw the ball to the flat, wide open, ball game over. There's always a choke factor involved in games like this, folks, whether it's somebody laying it down, whether it's somebody laying it on the ground, throwing an interception. Both teams are unique teams, both teams very good. And 5 or 6 plays, as I've said, make a difference in a game. Not one. It wasn't just one Ben Roethlisberger pick. Wasn't one Rashard Mendenhall fumble. Wasn't one Aaron Rodgers throw, although he made some great ones, and he's 24-39 for 304 yards, no picks, 3 TDs. I think his passer rating is like 112 or 14 in the, you know, that doesn't mean much to many, and stats don't mean much, but that's monster postseason passer rating. 3rd and 10 throw that he makes to, I believe it was Greg Jennings, was huge. He had like 4 or 5 drops, 4 in the second half. Guy ends up, would have been probably, you know, you're talking 29 of 39, 30 of 39 for close to 400 yards. He deserved the MVP. He was clearly the better quarterback in the game, better decision maker. Aaron Rodgers' name, if you're not mentioned, when you say Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers' name has to be mentioned. We talk about best quarterbacks in the NFC. Yes, Aaron Rodgers' name has to be mentioned with Drew Brees. Talk about best quarterbacks in the NFL, yes. When you say Manning or Brady or Brees or Philip, you can't get by those guys without saying, and don't forget Aaron Rodgers. But on his jock the whole year, even last year, I said, this is going to be a great player. There is no weakness or flaw in his game. None. Not one weakness. Confident, but not overly cocky. Not a talker, not a self-promoter. Wins. Great thrower on the run. Great passer on the run. Great passer from the pocket. Wonderful arm. Great accuracy. Unselfish. decision maker, boom, just like that. And then for them to overcome all those injuries during the season and then lose one of your inspirational leaders and great players in Charles Woodson and also Donald Driver, and then what happens? Jordy Nelson steps up. Heck, had a few other ones go through his hands, but makes nine catches for like a buck 40 and plays huge in the football game. Great teams do that. They didn't bat an eye when Donald Driver went out. Jordy Nelson steps in, the guy who comes off the bench in a role that he'll never forget, boom, hauls in nine passes. And Aaron Rodgers didn't bat an eye either, saying, okay, Donald Driver's out, we can't get Jordy Nelson involved. As a matter of fact, the genius of Aaron Rodgers says, not only can't we get him involved, I'm going to get him involved and make sure he's involved so he feels like a part of it, so he gets his confidence going so we don't lose him at all during the game. Don't think there's not a method to Aaron Rodgers' madness, plus the decision knowing that, okay, Donald Driver's out, we're Pittsburgh, take away Greg Jennings and maybe their passing game falters a little bit. Nope. Jordy Nelson runs his routes, gets some single coverage, Aaron Rodgers finds him. Now that's genius. A lot of times a third receiver or a fourth receiver or somebody will come off the bench and you don't know in a game of this magnitude how the Kansas State alum's going to respond. But Aaron Rodgers gets him involved now. So his confidence is sky high, and by the end of the game, you thought Jordy Nelson was a regular starter. All the genius of Aaron Rodgers. Folks, you can't win games running 13 times. If there was a bet going into this game, and I don't know, there's bets on everything, that the Packers will run it less than 15 times and win, you'd have said, oh, hell no. That's just too much pressure on Aaron Rodgers. While we know Mike McCarthy, their coach, said during the week, we're going to load him up on his back and we're going to let him carry us. And that's exactly what they did, and that's exactly what he did. But very few people that have any clue on football would have said, oh, they can run it 13 times and beat Pittsburgh. 20 times, 22 times, 24 times, yeah, 13? Statistically, that would have told you, ooh, that's way too many pass attempts, and they got no shot. I told you Pittsburgh doesn't win when Ben's got to throw it a lot. 40 attempts, Pittsburgh won't win. That's not their MO. That's not the way they play. Aaron Rodgers can throw it 40 times and win. They're accustomed to that. That's the way they're set up. They pass to win. They don't run to win. They do not run to win. They pass to win. They run to mix it up. And if you think Aaron Rodgers was good this year, now that the guy knows he's overcome all, and he didn't even care about the monkey on his back, the Brett Favre, everything, he's never cared where he got drafted. He's never cared. I mean, I'm sure he cares deep inside when he's miserable on draft day and Brett Favre, the quarterback, and all the controversy that surrounded that, you wait for your opportunity. I'm sure inside he's miserable, but never allow the world to know that he made a big deal. And then people talking about, oh, he got the monkey off his back, he's the MVP in the Super Bowl, where Favre wasn't, blah, blah, blah. And that was never his issue. He was never out for revenge, at least on the surface. And in truth, revenge seekers usually don't, I mean, they're the ones who, the grudge holders are the ones who suffer more than the person or the situation they hold the grudge against. All Aaron Rodgers done is play. Proud of him, man. Proud of him. And yes, you in Indianapolis, he belongs in, he's numbers-wise, no, but he's got just as many Super Bowl rings. And you must mention his name when you talk about the great players in New England, in Indianapolis, in New Orleans, when we talk about those quarterbacks, yes. Clearly, and it's not close, with all due respect to a guy like Matt Ryan, Josh Freeman, good player. Of the under 30 quarterbacks, he's got a lead so far, his secretariat on the field. Yep. About 31 or 32 lengths on the rest of the guys behind him as far as the under 30 class of quarterbacks. But I can promise you this, when it comes to the other, to the four or five best in this league, it's a photo finish. That's how good he is. Of course you take Brady. If I was starting a team right now, Aaron Rodgers is my pick over any quarterback in this league. So guess what that means? If I'm starting a team right now, he's the first pick of the draft. You say, what? That's right. Because you know what? Great teams are built with that position first. Please don't tell me defense wins championships. Yes, obviously it matters. Got to force turnovers, got to make plays. But you don't score, you don't win. Great offense wins championships, putting points on the board against a wonderful Steeler defense, hung 31 on them. Notwithstanding Ben throwing the interception, wasn't the defense's fault. And Pittsburgh's defense, great. Bottom line is, Green Bay's offense is better. 888-346-9144. If I'm starting a team today, the first pick of the draft, unlike when he was drafted, is Aaron Rodgers. You say, he's not better than Brady. No, he's not better than Brady. Three Super Bowl rings. Tom's probably not done winning Super Bowl rings. But I'm also looking, when I said start a team, which means you're building a team 5-10 years down the road. Peyton Manning isn't playing 10 more years. Drew Brees isn't playing 10 more years. Phillip Rivers, maybe. I think Aaron Rodgers is a better player than Phillip Rivers. Because he's got a dimension Rivers doesn't have, and that's the ability to make plays with his feet. If I start a team today, Aaron Rodgers is the first pick of the draft. Yes, over any defensive guy or offensive tackle or linebacker or over Clay Matthews, any of them. If I start a team today, yes, over Darrell Revis, the number one pick in the draft is Aaron Rodgers. There is no better person to build a team around right now in this league from scratch with young players and a little bit of a veteran mix than Aaron Rodgers. Again, the three things you won't see: Roethlisberger leaving it on the table and making bad decisions on a final drive, overcoming two stars and still winning, Green Bay with Woodson and Driver, and 13 rushing attempts and still win a Super Bowl. Amazing. What's the odds on this team to repeat? Because guess what? Their stars are all coming back next year. Those injured people, Finley, Woodson, Driver, they're going to be back in uniform. To me, odds on favorite to be favored in this offseason to go back to the Super Bowl. 888-346-9144, Sean Salisbury. We're unfiltered. You heard it, Aaron Rodgers. We have a draft today to build a team. Is the number one pick in the draft. We'll be right back.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be. Listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The Sports Mavericks Show redefines the elite athlete by bridging the gap between parents, athletes, and the community. Host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, brings to the Voice America Network original programming, balancing the pursuit of academic excellence and sports participation. The Sports Mavericks Show airs every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Listeners will be engaged in straightforward talk, spontaneous and unscripted, by the experts. Ida and her guests will explore the challenges of success and failure in sports and will help athletes and their parents navigate the transition from high school, college, and then on to the pros. We put fun back into sports and recognize role models in sports through our Sports Mavericks All-Star Award program. Tune in Tuesday evenings at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Ida Moyer and the Sports Mavericks Show right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media. Can you keep up?
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're locked in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Oh, man. I'm going to get out to AC. Or is it AC, I think you said? Yeah, AC, not D-Man. It's AC, I believe. We'll get out to him in just a second. You know, a few things I didn't see, or one thing in particular, was the halftime show, because at halftime, I had to actually broadcast the Lingerie Football Championship, which ended up 26-25. Was an unbelievable game that carried into the bit of the third quarter. So I didn't get to see the halftime festivities. I saw Christina Aguilera, and you know what? I was embarrassed. And it's sad because you can't butcher the national anthem. What is wrong, folks, with just singing the national anthem the right way with your voice? Are we taking the... It's like taking the Constitution and deciding to misspell words, not put it in there, and kind of just move things around and sound really shitty. With a girl who's got such a powerful voice, I'm not quite sure exactly what she was trying to do. I'm not in the music business, but I'm no doorknob either. What in God's name was she trying to do? Apparently God didn't know either, because he must have been looking down saying, what? Can we please... When you belt out your rendition of the national, you know, isn't it amazing when you hear an armed forces person sing, one of our military, you know, they'll come and let them sing, that they never try to do it some crazy ass way. Leave it to the entertainers to go up and down and voice and carry out a note that goes for 8 minutes. But have you ever noticed the respect our military has? I'm not saying you shouldn't add a little, you know, pizzazz to your voice and add special, but you can't beat it up. You guys get as mad at me as you want. Maybe I'm a little tradition, but when it comes to that part of it, just sing the damn thing and sing it right. I've always noticed it. I always watch, you know, somebody will come in there and a rapper will try to do it in his voice, save it. Or, you know, some country and western singer will maybe go a little bit of twang. Now, some do it great and respect it. Or some hip-hop or some Christina Aguilera or some rock and roll doing it completely so crazy. Some sound great, some can go off the beaten path and do it, and Christina Aguilera has an unbelievable voice. She didn't need to see somebody, like, she didn't need to do anything nuts. But she did, and she's getting laughed at today and hammered. This is the respect our military people have for the national anthem when they sing it. Just sing it with a beautiful voice and respect it. She butchered it. Completely hammered it. And then when I didn't see the halftime show, but I heard that sucked too. Did it? Somebody tell me about that. I heard that sucked. But what a shitty week for Dallas. The entertainment and everything else. The greatest entertainment of the week was you got to see the best young quarterback in football play his ass off. Can we please just get somebody to belt it out? And do it right. Let's get to AC. AC, what's going on, man? Happy Monday morning to you.
Hey, happy Monday to you, Sean. Hey, halftime.
A lot of good things, some awful things, but one thing I know for sure is number 12 is as good as we have playing in this league at any given Sunday right now.
Sean, he's the real deal. And I know I said that I thought that the Steelers were going to get to him and maybe knock him out or do something like that, but you know what? The boy puts the ball where it needs to be. I thought kind of unfair knock on his receivers, you know, for dropping a couple of those because they were pretty tough catches.
Oh, yeah.
Standpoint and defensive back, that ball's popping through that window, very tight window in no time. And it's not as easy as it looked. Easy to sit back and talk about him not catching something, but, you know.
Oh, yeah. You know, when they say four drops, but, you know, one of them, Jordy Nelson's trying to make a play. It goes through his, I mean, come on, and then it's pro football, and somebody's beating down on you and about to knock you in the mouth. But, man alive, he put it this way, when he misses, he doesn't miss by much, does he?
Oh, and he doesn't miss where it's going to hurt his team, that's for sure.
Could I make the argument, AC, as I have, that if you had a draft today building a team, that you could make him your first pick?
Oh, you'd be silly not to. You think about what San Francisco's doing right now. You know, and everybody said Mike Nolan, and I'm a San Francisco guy, as you know. But
right,
you know, how can you sit back and as a coach and say, well, you know what, I don't think I'll get along with him, and with no disrespect, you're going to go get run and shoot Alex Smith when you had this guy in University of California right in your backyard,
a guy who would have wanted to play there.
Oh my gosh,
yearning to be a San Francisco 49er right there. Everybody loves Montana. And he's kind of got those Montana qualities, doesn't he? When he drops back, there's a lot of similarities with their feet and their mechanics. I mean, don't you think, AC? There's pretty. I mean, I'm not saying he's Montana yet. Don't misunderstand. But I'm just talking about the qualities and the way he approaches the game. Sean, pretty damn good, huh?
Sean, I think I said this in an email. And what I like about him better than everybody else, and Big Ben as well. I think Ben had a bad day yesterday.
Yep.
And I think most of that was brought on by him. But the intangible things that they do. You know, that both of them, but more Rodgers, because it's his day. What Rodgers does when something's not there. You know, you see Peyton, you see other guys, they start trying to make something happen that doesn't exist. He sits back. He moved Troy Polamalu yesterday with his eyes yesterday like no one, just like Montana.
He is so, because, you know, he's so AC, he's so, you make an awesome point. He's so good at knowing where everybody's going to be. He doesn't have to worry about, see, great quarterbacks know where all 22 are, you know, on his offense and defense and can feel it. And I don't know if it's one of those in his DNA. It's got to be in his DNA because a lot of guys, you can learn how to do certain things, but there's certain things you either got or you don't. And that's that moxie for the game that you just, the Montanas have it, that when the pressure's on, he just kind of relaxes and does it. But he, using his eyes and moving people. And then throwing balls up in the hole when there's not a huge window, putting enough touch on it when you got to drop it in, being able to sidestep, keep your eyes up the field, being able to sidestep and then keep your eyes up the field and then run to get me a first down. I mean, he's so unique at a lot of those things. You make a great point. Boom, just a little glance, move Polamalu, stick the ball in a window. I'm telling you, as a matter of fact, I just listening to you talk and us talk, and we've had conversations about quarterbacks all year long. Well, I even emphasize more. Matter of fact, I wouldn't hesitate. Anyway, if you know how they put you on a 15 or 10-minute clock to say, here's how much time you have to make the first pick?
Yeah.
It'd take me 30 seconds to make the first pick in the NFL draft right now, and it's him.
And they would be pissed because they wouldn't know what to do with the time. They throw in a halftime show.
Exactly. Have somebody sing the national anthem and butcher it again.
Mike, and Sean, if you want to step off on your rendition, you know what? Stick it. Don't miss words. If you're going to go off and do your own thing, you better
stick the landing, right, AC?
Yeah. If you're not going to stick it, then you know what? Again, way too much show in the thing, and you got to show up. And
haven't you noticed that about our military, AC? When's the last time you heard of, you know, when they honor some of the military and they come in and say at the Yankee Stadium or after 9/11 when they sing, whether it's God Bless America or whether it's the national anthem? When have you ever heard one of them, number one, screw up a word?
No.
Or number two, go off on some tangent trying to throw their crap into it and disrespect it. They just sing it. It sounds unbelievable. If there's one song in our country that you don't have to kill, can it please be that one? Please.
Well, especially when the words have been around for so long, Sean. It's not like this is new. It's not new. And there's
you're a pro too, right?
Oh, my gosh.
You're a pro. You probably got paid a pretty good sum. It can't be that difficult to get the words right. And I don't want to hear pressure. She performs live in front of all the time. That's just called, well, almost like it's almost like she came into that singing it as an afterthought.
Well, you know, when Whitney Houston did it, when was that? 84, whenever.
But unbelievable, I can tell you that.
Now, see, everybody took that and it meant, you know what? Now I'm going to do my version.
Right.
I'm going to do my version.
Problem is, many of them don't have those pipes and can't pull that one off.
No.
You pulled it off. Hey, AC, about Ben Roethlisberger, we'll get the whispers. Him being in a piano bar on Tuesday night had something to do with this. He took complete blame for the loss. Said, if I'd have played better, we'd had a chance to win. I've never seen him on a final drive. I don't know if you were thinking the same thing I was. I'm sure you were. Buck, after the 2-minute warning, a buck 59 down 6, I'm thinking, ball game over. This is what Ben does.
Sean, I'm sitting down. I'm watching the game with my kids. And we're sitting back, and I said, "Uh-oh,
yep.
This they needed a touchdown because I wanted a good game."
And of course, no doubt,
I was mixed. And though a lot of things didn't go, I really enjoyed the game because of the fact that, okay, Aaron didn't do all that great. Oh, really? But he did it when he had to. Ben did things at inopportune times and everything else like that. I've heard people talk about the defense. Pittsburgh defense failed him. Really? No, Aaron just kicked his ass.
Oh, he sure did. And you know what? It almost set up, too, when they got the ball back. I'm thinking Ben hadn't played real well, made some good plays, made the throw to Mike Wallace for the touchdown late in the game was special. I said, but you know what? This kind of sets up. He's kind of been ugly, a couple interceptions. Now he gets the ball at the buck 59. This is the typical emphatic stamp he puts on it. And they're going to end up winning this damn thing 32-31. And then, for some reason, he made, you know, a couple poor decisions. If he checked the ball down, throws it to the flat, he's got an easy steal in first down. But one thing I do not want to hear is somebody come on here and tell me that, oh, had he not been in the piano bar on Tuesday, he'd have played better on Sunday.
Sean, I was waiting
ridiculous.
For that. Because, you know what, excuse me, the piano bar, that's why?
Exactly.
I think the tunnel vision that he had trying to get a home run, I thought, you know, there were plenty of people and better decisions to make. And he decided instead of just doing it systematically, I think he just started pressing.
And he started, and you know what, a lot of times when you're in pressure situation, which is unlike him and unlike his counterpart in the game, is that it was almost like on the final drive, Ben had already made up a decision where he was going to throw the ball before he just read it out, said, curl's covered, Mike Wallace covered under curl, let me throw the ball to flat.
Yeah.
Real simple, first down, we'll move the chains again. This is what I do. He finally, for the first time I've seen him in a game-ending situation on a huge stage, play younger instead of play older. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
He played younger in that one, and you know maybe it was the fact that he bought into all of it and saying, this is what I do. But had he just done what he normally does, we may be talking about Aaron Rodgers' special player, but Ben Roethlisberger, 3 Super Bowls in 6 years. He's the best closer of the modern time. We have a quarterback. But you know what? Just he a few decisions. And it's not his. I mean, a lot of people involved in the game, the reason they lost, you can't lay it on the ground, can't give up big plays, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? I do like the fact that he manned up. And he nutted up and said, you know what, I play better, we got a chance. And the truth is, on the final drive, had he made better decisions, they may have been in a position to win the game.
To me, the true telling point of, and what I enjoyed even more, is even after 3 turnovers from 21 points, they're still in the game.
Oh, never! And, they never go away.
And you know, it's like the roach, you know, the it's like the group of roaches and everything at the old apartments in Southern Cal.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
BB, you kill one or two, and somehow 14 more show up. They just keep coming. They're getting bigger, and they're all over the place. You can't stomp them out, and you really don't. And when all said and done, even though Green Bay won, there were still a few dying cockroaches, but their legs were still twitching. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Still twitching.
Yeah.
Still twitching. Anything else about the game stick out? Let me ask you this. If you and I were sitting around having a beer and we said, let's put our money down on next year, you got any problem throwing it on the Packers in the NFC?
No, not at all. Not at all. And don't have a problem with Pittsburgh either. The same, too.
Well, I could very easily see a rematch next year, couldn't you?
Oh, hands. I mean, without a doubt. I think what kind of got to Ben, it seemed like he lacked the confidence with his line. That right side was collapsing on him a little bit.
Yep.
And you didn't hear him make any excuses. You didn't hear him throw anybody underneath the bus. But I was looking at the way the right side was just killing him.
Well, you know what? This is normally AC, Pittsburgh's built on, you know, we talked, you know, the steel curtain and the rest on defense. They've always been built on being physical up front. And the truth is, one of their glaring weaknesses this year was at an offensive line. And we never, ever go in the past and say, ooh, man, the Steelers, this is a little bit finesse and they're not really that good. I mean, they've had to overcome a lot. And I think that the one thing that they, if they get right at offensive line, I don't think there's any reason why that football team can't come back and be in the Super Bowl again, because your quarterback's not going anywhere. They're going to be hungry. You know, they've got some aging veterans like Hines Ward, but they've done a good job with the young receivers, getting them ready to go. And their defense, I mean, they need to get better at corner. I mean, you know, we said going into this game, we talked about it, that you can attack the outside lanes and pound their corners, and they did.
Oh,
they were smart to stay away from the inside only on crossing routes when he had to make a play. But they attacked the outside lanes. They found the weakness, and they went for the throat. But Pittsburgh, like all teams, and even Green Bay, guys, they're going to have 10 or 12 new players on their roster next year. That's just the way it is, and they're the Super Bowl champions. So there's no doubt in my mind, with a couple decisions here and there, that Pittsburgh can be right back where they want to and a better football team next year up front.
Sean, I thought when you took a look at the strength of they even use their strengths against him. Polamalu, what is his strength and everything else like that? He abused him.
Oh yeah, he beat him in his own game. They attacked him in the right way. They didn't allow Polamalu to take over the game because they took his strength away by using their strength against his. There's no question.
And looking at them with that, but to think that Green Bay had the people that they had out, I think for the older teams, the Ravens, you take a look at the Redskins, you take a look at all these, the Giants and everything else like that, they have a problem. They have a major problem just because of what they have in front of them.
No
doubt. Idea of what you need to overcome with what Green Bay and that personnel staff has done over the last 6, 7, 8 years. That's the way it should be done.
AC, they're sitting on a title, and no quarterback carried his team more than number 12 in Green Bay. But think of it, no Nick Barnett, been your basically, until the last 2 years, been your leading tackler on your team for a handful of years. You don't have your running back, Ryan Grant. Remember, Atari Bigby was beat up at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Al Harris gets hurt, and you end up cutting him during the season because Tremont Williams steps his game up. Finley, who is quite frankly, as long as he doesn't talk his way out of it, is going to be in the next 3 or 4 years maybe the best tight end in this league. He's that good.
Easily.
And then you lose Donald Driver and Charles Woodson. Your two biggest leaders when you talk about veteran on both sides of the ball. And your ass can still pull out a game in a Super Bowl without missing a beat.
Sean, you said more about personnel packages and organizations and how to do it. And Green Bay and Pittsburgh, I think they do it. I don't think they've allowed their egos to get in the way, like Smith in San Diego, to make decisions and everything that kill them. Belichick to a certain degree, Andy Reid to a certain degree, Shanahan. These guys just sit back, find people that work with what it is they do. They instill a way and a method, the loyalty that you hit on before. My gosh, I think they're very hard to beat.
Yep, I
know they're very hard to beat.
Class organizations both ways, and they'll both be playing in the postseason next year. And don't be surprised, folks, in Indianapolis, if they're playing on the Colts turf next year, the Green Bay Packers and Pittsburgh Steelers, because Steelers aren't far away, and I'm not real sure. Green Bay, it's kind of cool going into 2011, winning a Super Bowl, saying, well, what adjustments do you guys got to make, Green Bay? Well, we got to get 7 of our starters back. That'd be kind of nice.
Yeah, and this new incoming class, we have to make I'm sorry, we have a young team anyway.
Exactly. So we're going to get Charles for the game, and Donald will be back as a veteran, and that's right, we're going to get our tight end back, which gives me about 7 more completions a game. We're going to get to run, and so we're going to have a 1,300-yard rusher, which is only going to make me as a quarterback better. Okay, cool. I'll see you guys in February next year, and I'll meet you in Indianapolis. Odds-on favorite, and I don't think there's any question.
Sean, could you speak to this? I don't know how much time you have.
Hey, AC, do me a favor. Do you got time to hold on for about a 2-minute break and come back?
Absolutely, man.
Okay, hold on. We're going to come back and hit a little bit more on halftime show. I didn't see it, but I heard it sucked. The national anthem, Christina Aguilera. I've always said powerful voice, wonderful singer, but man alive, something happened yesterday because you can't remember it, and you do that to the national anthem. Awful. Aaron Rodgers, if you have a draft today, he's the first pick of the draft, folks. Vikings hate me saying that. Vikings fans, you want him on your team, don't you, Minnesota? As does about 28, 29 other teams in this league. I'm Sean Salisbury. It's Voice America Sports. AC, going to come back on the other side, finish the conversation. We are unfiltered, as always.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
It's all Arizona, all over the world. If you're a local Arizona high school sports fan, or if you're a transplanted fan somewhere else in the world, have we got a show for you. The first internet sports radio talk show focusing solely on high school sports is The Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely. Tune in to talk about your favorite teams, players, or coaches. It's 100% Arizona high school sports coverage and a little bit more. Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, to the Voice America Sports Channel.
Now there's a new destination for video content, VoiceAmerica.tv. Just like our radio channels and so much more. Voice America Variety, Health and Wellness, Business, Sports, Green Talk, Power Up Motorsports, and Seventh Wave Network now have their own video channel components. Plus, check out exclusive programming, including movies, music, educational courses, science and history, current events, and short features. High-definition, premier-quality programs available 24/7. VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You're locked in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to seansals@gmail.com. That's seansals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Okay, I don't do much right, but I did pick the Packers back in August, so just give me about 8 seconds to pat myself on the back. Truth be told, even though I picked them in August, it was pre-injuries, and we all had the question, can they do this thing? Can they do this thing? And I thought Aaron Rodgers was great even, you know, boy, with those healthy players, this is going to be a great year for him. Picked them to go to the Super Bowl, do their thing. But after all those injuries, you're sitting there thinking, ugh, can they? And then late in the season when they lost a couple close games and were struggling to get in, folks, if this isn't a great lesson, and we've seen it too many times now for it not to be a great lesson, that playing as a wild card team ain't bad. It is not bad to have to go on the road, and it isn't bad to be in a must-win situation the last 2-3 weeks of the season. I think the teams get too – when if you've got it clinched in the middle of December, I think you lose momentum. And I think the greatest thing that happened to the Packers was having to win down the stretch – get in as a wild card and have to play every week. I do. I think they got so much momentum going that the confidence was built, and their confidence built even when they went in and kicked Atlanta's ass. I mean, every single game that they had to take care of their business, they did. And started going to Philly, went in there, boom, tough place to play, confidence. Next week they go into Atlanta and made Atlanta look like a farm system and hammered their ass. And then they go on the road to Chicago against a rival and beat the quarterback up and put it on them and didn't play great but still found a way to win. How do you not feel great about yourself? I'm not so sure bye week to me. I'm not so sure that shit matters anymore unless your team's so beat up. But then again, Green Bay dispels that because they're beat up, hammered, hacked up, don't have their starters, and then get hurt in a game and still find a way to win, which is even more emphasis on how good number 12 is in Green Bay. Back out to AC. AC, you wanted me to speak on something, man. What were you going to go to next?
Well, a couple things. Why are they continuing to create an issue with Favre and Rodgers? And you played backup, you know, to people and things.
Yep.
And I don't expect there to be a lot. I never liked playing behind anybody.
Oh, if you do, you know what? If you do like playing behind somebody, then you won't last.
No, and
you got to accept it sometimes. Doesn't mean you don't keep working.
It is what it is, but I don't understand why they keep talking about it. And I think probably because they need to talk.
And you know, AC, you hit it. Your last sentence has hit it. Because we got, it's the same media that, who leads their story on sports and has every analyst comment on Ben Roethlisberger being in a bar on a Tuesday night as if he just shot somebody. Because you know what, in this day and age, AC, we create news. We don't report it. We create bullshit and take something that could be good and twist it and turn it so we can start to ask the question, well, could it be? Could it be?
When
you hang up and we're done with our call, Susie sent me a really good email, and I want to talk more about this because you're exactly right. I don't believe Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers have any problem. I'm not saying with each other. It was what it was. Steve Young didn't like playing behind Joe Montana, hated it. They weren't best friends. Joe and Steve don't go out to dinner. Matter of fact, the competition at times got more heated than anybody even knows as far as the love for each other. Steve Bono and Joe Montana, the first and the third quarterback, are far better friends than Steve Young and Joe was. But Steve sat and finally got his chance and won a Super Bowl. I mean, It happens. Yeah, you'd like to get the monkey off your back, but the truth is, great players are going to find their way to the top regardless. And the truth is, if you're Aaron Rodgers, probably one of the great things that ever happened for you in your career was playing behind number four.
You got an opportunity to sit back, soak it all in an unpressured environment. I thought he went in a lot unpressured because of that.
No doubt about it. Understood. Hey, the shoes, you know, you got to step into size 30 shoe, and then you got to have the durability. I mean, and remember going back real quick, Ace, remember the first time Aaron Rodgers came in for Brett Favre, and in the first few parts of the game, it was either an ankle or he got hurt. And the first thing I thought of was, we just got a guy who said has played in 200 and some straight games, and we can't even have the other quarterback finish a half.
Yes.
But then Aaron Rodgers stepped up his toughness, and nobody questions how tough the guy is now. So there's no doubt, if you do it right, which Aaron Rodgers did, kept his mouth, two ears and one mouth, and he used them accordingly.
Oh, and again, he's still not talking right now.
Absolutely not.
It's a part of
it too, doesn't he, AC?
And they need the one thing, just with respect to the runs, if you have receivers and a quarterback like that, who gives a damn if you run the ball 40 times a game?
Exactly.
I mean,
hey, who would have thought it?
And it's not like when you played, and it's not like, again, in the 80s, you know, back when. You don't have Jack Tatum beating you up in line of scrimmage. You've got 5 yards. You got 5 yards. And the game has changed so much. So if you have a quarterback that accurate, why would you run?
It's exactly. If I could throw a 12-yard curl route or a 15-yard comeback and get chunks of yardage that are just – that the truth is, Aaron Rodgers makes it look as easy as a handoff. He drops back. He's damn near as accurate handing the ball off as he is throwing it 15 yards. I mean, he's – you know, he can throw a comeback as good as he can reach out and hand it on a stretch play to the running back. I'm with you.
And we're
no longer you got to run to win. See, when you got a quarterback like that, drop your ass back and throw it.
And in the new new NFL, and I know you need to get running, but there you need a smart quarterback. You need an accurate quarterback. And again, you know what? He has all the tangibles and everything that you need and everything with that. And the calm and cool under pressure. I mean, again, everybody forgets that SC game when he went back and he had that.
I don't forget it. Neither do you. You and I don't forget it, do we?
Oh, no, there's no way in hell we're going to forget it, because I was sitting back, shitting a brick back then.
Yeah, unreal, man. AC, great points, man, and we got a special player. And you know what? There's going to be nobody happier whether they lock him out or not. Think about what Aaron Rodgers has been through. You don't think that he's waking up this morning and thinking, damn, this is going to be a pretty good offseason for me, because everything that I needed to happen not only happened, but it happened tenfold.
And if they strike, you know what, right now, does it really matter?
Go ahead, man. Just make sure my ring's on time. AC, great stuff, my man. I appreciate you, as always. And stay in touch with me. I'm taking off for a vacation, but you know where to reach me on email until I get back.
Yeah, hey, Sean, I'm also finally hooking up on Facebook, so look for me there. Make sure you
do. Send me one, and we'll get it done, my man.
Okay, man.
Appreciate
you.
Great stuff.
Hey, Godspeed. Be well, man.
Thanks,
right?
Bud. Appreciate it. AC, one of my favorites. I'm going to get out to Anthony, who popping on here, and I know he's got plenty to say. This is from Susie, and she always sends great emails. And this one says, it's wonderful to be a Wisconsinite this morning, even though you called it in the beginning of the season. She says she had her doubts with all the injuries. But we did it, and here's a thought for you. And AC had kind of brought this up because the media creates crap, and I'm part of it. And sometimes I'm ashamed to be in it because it's almost like the media wants to be the star now instead of report what the star's doing. And I don't like it. And she says, and don't get me wrong, because I love Favre, but I would love to know what he's thinking and feeling right now. Love you, Susie. Suze, thanks. Appreciate you sending in, as always, and congratulations to you and all your Packer fans on an unbelievable win, and congratulations to the Steeler fans who handled themselves with style and grace also. You guys got nothing to apologize for. Your Pittsburgh Steelers can arguably say they're the best franchise in football history. And you did them proud by supporting them, but also the team did you proud by not quitting in a game where they were getting their ass kicked early. But that's typical, epitomizes, the play on the field usually epitomizes the way those fans are. Both cities, hard-working, blue-collar, grab a brat and a beer or an Iron City beer, tee it up and let's go play, and then get your ass to work and clock in on Monday. And I love both the cities and I love both the fans. Susie, thank you. Make a great point about Brett Favre. You know what? If he's human, Brett's got mixed emotions today. It's his franchise, and even though I was sat in a restaurant, and I had a couple of Packer fans who love Favre, but said, Sean, how do you think we feel about Favre right now? I said, I know how you fans feel about Favre. You don't like him. And I said, you know, it's sad to me because aside from everything, he went to the Vikings and the rest of it. You guys don't like him because of the diva attitude and because he said he was going to retire, said he wasn't, all that. I said, you're going to forgive him and hug him in a couple years when he gets his jersey retired. I said, and I could make the argument that he's the greatest Packer that ever lived. Yes, Bart Starr. Yes, Jim Taylor. Yes, Paul Hornung. Bart Starr, I hate to say it, folks, old schoolers are going to want to shoot me. Other than Vince Lombardi, he is the face of the Green Bay Packers, and some would say far more than Lombardi, which is high praise. And as great as Bart Starr, no, Brett Favre's the greatest player ever to come out of that organization. He just is. I think that Brett probably today, a sense of pride for the guy that we always like when you're like one of your pupils or a guy that played behind you or in front of you does something great. You put aside the petty jealousies that you don't need to. If you're Favre, if you play 20 years, what do you got to be jealous of? But you take pride and say, you know what, I'm glad I could be, that he got this done. You also, it's your Packers, regardless, he's a Packer and always will be. And I think there's a mixed emotion. He wishes he could be there. He was a throwaway last year from being in the Super Bowl. I think he realizes that Aaron Rodgers is going to end up getting more Super Bowl rings than him. But Aaron Rodgers isn't ever going to – there are certain records that Aaron's never going to touch that Brett's got. He just won't. That being said, I would hope that Brett feels great about it for the Packers this morning. But there's an emptiness. You wake up. It's human nature. If you're on injured reserve, Nick Barnett, Ryan Grant, they don't feel the same as the rest of the fellas do today because they, even though they're part of the team, they weren't part of it. I know a guy who's a Super Bowl ring, was a huge Pro Bowl player for the Oakland Raiders. Doesn't wear his ring to this day because he was hurt for the Super Bowl and didn't feel a part of the team, which is sad, but we all feel that way. If you're not actually playing and contributing on that day or on that season, you almost feel kind of left out. I'm sure Brett has a little bit of that in him, but it's Aaron Rodgers' day. It's Aaron Rodgers' year. It's Aaron Rodgers' offseason. It's Aaron Rodgers' team. Let's get out to New York. My man Anthony, what's going on, AP?
Hey, Sean, what's going on?
Even though the game was looked like uh-oh, while that was the score was telling us uh-oh, there was not one doubt in my mind because I looked at my partner, Tom Dorf, my LFL partner, when we called in the game at halftime while it was going. I said, I assure you, don't blink because this game's far from over. Pittsburgh will creep back in. They always do. So, you know what? May not have been pretty, but pretty typical of the way we had broken the thing down for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, no, it played, especially when Green Bay was about to kick that field goal at the end. I was watching it over my girlfriend's house, and I was telling everybody there. I was like, Ben has the ball with 2 minutes left, that needing a touchdown to win. I was like, the script is there. This is all I wanted all week. I said, it's there. And, it didn't happen, but, we got what we wanted. We got what we thought we'd get. One of the quarterbacks with the ball in his hand to go ahead and win it. And, it kind of played out exactly how we thought it would, except for the turnovers. That really surprised me.
The script was there. It was written, the final chapter sitting there. It's just that we're so used to the final chapter being number 7 in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. ending it with a pass play or a run for a touchdown.
Yep.
The only uncharacter, his game was ugly at times yesterday. That's yep. Ben. His mm-hmm. game was spectacular on a few throws. That's Ben. His yep. statistics were... pedestrian, threw too many times for Pittsburgh. They don't like to throw that much, but interceptions, a couple ugly ones where you're saying, oh, gosh.
Yeah.
And then he makes a play, and you're saying, okay, had a sack, boom, walks his way out of a sack, that's Ben. And then you get to the final .159, you're saying, well, this is Ben. This is exactly where he is able to stand up at the podium when it's done
mm-hmm.
with eye black on and beat up and say, you know what, I didn't play my best, but we found a way to get it done, which would just continue to extend the hero, oh my gosh, how does this guy do it, praise that we always give him, and he's earned.
Right.
But he made a few bad decisions on the final drive, and the guy across from him, Aaron Rodgers, was a better decision maker and a better player in the game, and you hear me all the time, and I get, my defensive buddies in the league give me flack for it, and my retired buddies, that it's great quarterbacks that win championships, and if you play great on Championship Sunday,
mm-hmm.
you're going to win if you're a quarterback. You will overcome great defense if your quarterback's great, and Aaron Rodgers was great.
Yeah,
always has been all year long.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I want to talk more about Pittsburgh, but I'll go on to Rodgers just to, Pittsburgh's defense, I thought, played well. I mean, I've never seen a quarterback, and you know, I hear some announcers use this term sometimes, but I've never seen a quarterback throw his receivers open any better than Aaron Rodgers does. And I'll put Brady, Manning, any quarterback you want in that equation. But you look, and they did a good job, you know, especially when you see the camera angle behind the quarterback and the windows that he was throwing into, where you had safety over the top and the corner was on the guy's back and the linebacker was dropping, and he would just zing this ball before, I mean, he would see it happen, especially on the throw to Jennings, you know, the big play at the end.
Oh, 3rd and 10?
Yeah, that was what quarterback in the league, and I'm putting Manning and Brady in there, is going to see it and zing it in there.
On time with that accuracy, probably, you know what, he may be in a class of his own. That's why I said if there's an NFL draft tomorrow, he's not sitting there frowning the whole time because he's the first pick of the draft.
Yeah, he just throws, even when the guy's covered, even the throw to James Jones down the sideline on the last drive,
yep.
You know, the corner, he was playing the deep route, and he just purposely underthrew it, and Jones made the adjustment.
He's the best back shoulder thrower we have in this league where people don't understand what that means is that that was an intent, that play when they called it was not to throw a back shoulder play. It was, right. Oh my gosh, they're all playing over the top. And instead of trying to throw it over the top, which a lot of quarterbacks do and throw it up for grabs, he throws it to the back shoulder, the corner's still running, the receiver stops on a dime, come back, get it off the back shoulder. Now that's a lot of time a design play down in the red zone, or when they're playing the fade route and they're overplaying the fade and you throw it to the back shoulder to the pylon, but he's such a great decision maker, and it's always been one of my favorite terms, because not a lot of people can do it. Most of us average quarterbacks, AC, could not throw the ball, could not throw the receiver open. Because when the ball comes out of his hands, and folks, you saw the end zone, and Anthony, make a great point. If you could have had a camera helmet to see him, you see a little bit of what he sees, but if you could see what Aaron Rodgers sees, and you say, when he's throwing it, you would stand back there and say, where's he throwing it?
Right.
And when the ball arrives a second later, you're saying, oh, I see where he's throwing it. He's throwing it to that 6-inch window where you say, oh, my gosh, don't do that. And the receiver's covered, but he throws him open. And great quarterbacks throw him open. At AC, there's not five guys in this league that know how to throw a receiver open.
Yeah.
He's at the top of the list.
Right. Those are plays where, you know, if it's a few weeks ago and it's Mark Sanchez, that ball's picked off.
But, no doubt. No question.
That's why I said Pittsburgh's defense, where they gave up the, I mean, granted, they gave up the points, but, I mean, they also held Rodgers at certain points in the game, kept it close. But you know, you can't keep a guy like that down for an extended the whole game. You're not going to do it. I mean, Rodgers' quarterback rating, I think it was under 100 in midway through the third quarter. Then he finished with whatever it was. Was it 115?
Yeah, like a buck 11 or a buck 14 or something. Yeah.
I mean, the fourth quarter that he played was absolutely unbelievable. I mean, Jordy Nelson showed up big time. You know, even though he dropped a few passes, you know, James Jones dropped what should have been a touchdown. Where he, you know, another one through his hands. You know, so his numbers might have been bigger than that. And I was thinking this morning, greatest quarterback performances of all time in a Super Bowl, and the first one I think of is Steve Young throwing his 6 touchdowns. But, in that game was over 5 minutes in, you know, and Young was still throwing the ball around and, you know,
right.
Put up huge numbers. But for, with the pressure on, 3rd and 10, you know, got to get the first downs, you know, for the throws that he made, he threw for just as many yards almost as Steve Young did. He didn't have the 6 touchdowns, but for the pressure throws he had to make, you can argue that this is probably the greatest Super Bowl performance for a quarterback of all time, especially versus the defense he was going up against.
Yeah, it isn't exactly like he was playing against a bunch of hacks. And when you also extend it, and you might have even said this, with the lack of players that he had as far as how many injuries to key players on both sides of the ball.
Right.
It just... And you know what? It was he made 24 of 39 for 304 yards and 3 touchdowns. Yawn like ho hum.
Right.
And you're right with 4 or 5 other catches. If they make a couple great catches, and you know of some tough plays, but also make you're looking at a 400 yard day and maybe 4 touchdown passes against no picks.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're a starting great leader on offense, drivers out. Your second best defensive player is on the sideline. Some may still think he's the best because he's been in the league a long time.
Yep.
And you still find a way, and you bring in your third receiver who ends up playing like a superstar. Remember, we always say, Anthony, I said it last week. I said, in this game, you will find a GOAT of some sort, and the GOAT been a little bit because of his last drive, even though he keeps him in games. Mm-hmm. And their corners, even though they played well enough, we knew they could attack him.
Yeah.
But the other side of it is you'll find a hero. There's always one guy who's not a star.
Right.
Who becomes a household name after the game. Now, anybody who follows football knows Jordy Nelson isn't just an average player. He's a good football player. But nine catches, 140 yards. Now you may see him on a – heck, put his ass on an American Express commercial. Don't, you know, when maybe you don't know me, but here's why. And now they do know him. And there's always one, at least one, that rears his head.
Right.
And wouldn't you know it? At the biggest stage, Jordy Nelson steps up, and Aaron Rodgers got him just as involved as he would a guy who's been to seven Pro Bowls.
Yep. I mean, and Jordy Nelson, I'm sure you – I mean, I loved him at Kansas State.
Me too.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm sure you and guys like you and I know who Jordy Nelson is, but now he made himself – everyone knows who Jordy Nelson is now. You know, and who knows? I mean, Driver's getting up there in years. You know, James Jones drops a lot of passes. You know, this could be that secondary receiver. He's sort of in that Donald Driver mold almost.
No doubt.
A little bit faster, though.
No doubt. You know. To me, you know, let's say Donald plays another year or two, and they start to – Jordy Nelson, I have no problem. You'll just roll him right on into the starting position, no problem.
Right, exactly.
No issue. And what he did yesterday, if there was ever any question if he could be a go-to guy when it mattered, nine catches on the biggest stage in the world for football or any sport,
yep.
I think that Jordy Nelson, if there was even a question if he, and I don't think there was because they wouldn't have put him in if there was, I don't think there's any question that if you're Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson in the front office, you say, okay, we're cool. We don't need to draft a receiver in the first round. That guy's good enough to win games for us. We're okay right now.
No, that's one of the other things I would talk about the Packers. You know, as far as like a team like that can, you know, it's going to be around for a while. If you look at these guys, like Jordy Nelson was a second round pick, James Jones, I think it was a third or fourth rounder. You know,
Ryan Grant,
who they signed off. I think it was the Giants practice squad.
Exactly.
You know, at some point. But you look at where they've picked guys up, where they've drafted. Every one of their draft picks is on this team. You know, they don't need to draft just in the first round. They've gotten their receivers, you know, in the middle rounds. They've gotten, you know, other guys like Brandon Jackson, James Starks in the later rounds, after the offensive line. You know, you just look all around, and they've built the team. And they're, I think, if not, the, I mean, either them or Tampa Bay has to be the youngest team
in the league. I think Tampa, they're 1-2. I think Green Bay, if they're not, put it this way, you flip-flop them, one of them's 1, one of them's 2.
Right, either one, yeah.
Yeah.
And you could be looking. I mean, I sort of think Tampa Bay, they're a pass rusher away from being, you know, I think sort of as New Orleans is starting to get a little bit older, and starting to come down. Tampa Bay is starting to come up.
No doubt about it. And you know what? If you gave them, if Simeon Rice was in his prime in Tampa or if you got a guy like Clay Matthews with a motor, you go get a pass rusher that can change the course of a game, and there's no reason why you won't put you won't say, Tampa can compete with Atlanta and New Orleans as they did this year, but they're only going to get better because they've got that star quarterback to build a franchise around, and they just got to get a little bit better at the wide receiver perimeter. But you know what? They're building it, and guess what? A really good quarterback can make me and you look good on the field, and he does. He's like Peyton Manning. How many no-names has Peyton Manning turned into? Oh, yeah, I know who that dude is because Peyton Manning knows how to get him open, and Aaron Rodgers is similar, and I think Josh Freeman's got that too, and Raheem Morris is kind of doing it. You know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers trying to build it through the draft, which and get a few free agents that help. But you do it, you build your people in your system, and you continue to grow it. So let me ask you this, and be honest. If you have to build a team, who's your first pick if we had the draft tomorrow in the NFL?
It's a tough one. You kind of sold me on Rodgers this morning, and I said it when I first came on with you. I don't think there's a quarterback who does – you could say Brady, Manning, Breeze, but I think he throws just as well as any of those guys. He has the leadership characteristics of any of those guys.
Better feet.
And he can move out of the pocket better than any of those guys.
No question. You got more stuff you want to talk about? You want to hang on?
Yeah, hold on.
Okay, we'll come back in 2 minutes. Anthony Perrenio. I get the best callers, folks, and emailers in the business because you know what? They know they're unfiltered. They can bring it, and we don't cut them off. We actually have a conversation with our callers on this radio station. Isn't that kind of nice? We don't let them make an 8-second comment and then click them off because we think we're more important than they are. No. You fans are what drive me. I love it. We're coming back. We're talking Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers is special, folks. Anthony's going to continue to join me. Pretty soon we're going to be talking about spring training baseball, and I can't wait, which means Arizona and warm weather. We'll be right back.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Hey, did you know Voice America has partnered with the Kidstar Network to expand their reach through Voice America Kids? Voice America Kids will feature talk radio for kids by kids, along with special event programming and live broadcasts. Each program is conveniently archived for on-demand listening at any time. Please check our archives for the latest events and happenings on VoiceAmericaKids.com.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings of the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You're locked in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSalz@gmail.com. That's SeanSalz@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Oh, we are back. We've got about 50 minutes to go, and I'm going on vacation for a couple weeks. And I'm coming back. Pitchers and catchers are going to be out there, and I'm going to have some fun talking about it. I'm going to spend a little time in Florida. I'm going to spend a little time in Arizona. I'm going to spend a little time pontificating. Let's get out to Anthony again in New York. We're talking Aaron Rodgers. We're talking Super Bowl. And I'm actually pumped while I know people are going to go through withdrawals and football season's over. But it's one of my favorite times of year because then we get to talk about all the labor crap that's going to go on. Then we get to talk about spring training baseball and hoops is getting rolling. Final Four's next month. And hockey's going, I mean, good, great. I love it. And then you're going to, folks, you're going to thaw out eventually. I know some of you on the East Coast are saying, oh, hell no, we're not either. Okay, then we'll talk to you in late May. But out here in the West, eventually we're going to thaw out quicker and our snow melts faster. Yeah, just yep. kind of a little rub in. What else is on your mind, my man?
Actually, I want to talk about, very quickly, the, you know, you didn't watch the halftime show, and I tried to avoid it also. I was kind of I was over at a buddy's house of mine watching the first half and then going over to my girlfriend's house for dinner to watch the second half, and I said, I'll leave at halftime because I don't give a shit about any halftime show.
Right.
And, you know, so I left. You know, I drove about 10, 15 minutes, got to her house, go inside, and this thing is still on. So I got to see the last about 5 minutes, and it's one of those things I'm watching the TV, and I'm going, what is this? You know, it was probably one of the I don't know, it's the worst in recent memory I could possibly.
I heard halftime was embarrassing.
It you know what it is, and it's not even so much that it's embarrassing. Is it seems like it goes on for 3 or 4 hours. It's just never ending.
You know what's amazing, Anthony? You make a great point. Is in the biggest stage of the world, and I know we got to sell sponsors, but do we really? Do we say, well, why can't halftime be the same? Why can't it just be a normal halftime? We say, oh, for the sponsorship and the commercials and all that, but you know, in truth, the players, we're there to watch the players. No offense. The commercials are great during that. You know, commercials can be great. Some are awful. Mm-hmm. Some you'll never see again. Some you say, oh, memorable. Budweiser always seems to throw grabbing, you know, with the dog and training the Rocky theme that
right.
We see in the past. There's some spectacular commercials, and they're great. But at halftime, no offense, the acoustics never quite sound as good. It kind of sounds shitty.
Yep.
You don't know if they're going to try to introduce new. You know, if Elton John were to sing at halftime, I don't want his new stuff. I want to hear old stuff, Elton John. Some, you know what I mean? And
right.
they try to do, and they're selling a new album. For me, the halftime show, if you're not there, the players, we're there to watch the players.
Right.
And to go in at halftime and make those guys sit around for 30 to 40 minutes, it's
yeah.
bullshit. It's mm-hmm. and don't it's a, save the corporate crap for somebody who's listening. Matter of fact, if I'm going to cut costs, I'll cut the halftime show. Don't need it.
Yeah.
Most of them are getting a beer and a hot dog and bullshitting and texting and emailing and Facebooking their friends anyway.
Yep.
And if the halftime show sucks, you take the risk of... And I love the Black Eyed Peas, man. I didn't see the show. I just heard it was awful.
Yeah,
and it's too long, and it's ridiculous, and it's not a representative. And the players, on the biggest stage of their life, are the ones that got to take it in the ass because
yep.
we're waiting for some buffoons to get through all the moving things in and out at halftime. It's a joke.
Yeah. I always take the halftime show and just make it an hour-long pregame. I mean, the pregame's 25 hours long anyway. Just do it before the game. Have the concert and do whatever.
Yeah, how about this? Why not this, AC? Why, AC, Anthony, why not, can we have it, let's do a post-game concert with fireworks.
Something. Just don't interfere with the game. It's not unwatchable, you know, the game, but it just draws out so much. You know, you watch a good first half, and then it's like, okay, well, now I have to kill 30 to 40 minutes. What am I going to do?
The players suffer.
Yeah.
Players suffer.
Yeah, like I said, I caught the last 5 minutes. I tried to avoid the whole thing, but you know it's just too long for me to miss the whole thing. But yeah, it was pretty terrible. And then, going on to Pittsburgh, I think the thing that they were really lacking yesterday, and you kind of saw it, Ben. You know, as much as you know, Hines Ward is his go-to guy, and it seems like he's trying to get Mike Wallace into that. You know, more than the one-trick pony, the deep threat. I don't see Wallace had 16 targets yesterday. Yeah, he caught 9 balls. But you kind of get the sense that when he catches the ball, he goes down too easy. He's never going to be that, you know, number one receiver. He's a deep threat, and that's probably about all he's going to be because of his size.
He's not going to be Larry Fitzgerald, Andre John. No, he's exactly right. He'll catch a crossing route against man once in a while. He's an outside, he works outside the numbers football player who's spectacular speed, who's a game breaker there. And he'll get that game where he's got 10 catches for $160, but he'll also disappear, in one catch for 37 yards. Yes, he's a home run hitter. Now, people may look at him in Pittsburgh who kind of just workmanlike and they do it, but I'm going to tell you this. If Hines Ward said he's retiring, Pittsburgh's got to draft a receiver. They got to draft a receiver. So, I'm with you. I think he's a good player, and he's got a wealth of potential. There ain't no question about it, and could make some spectacular plays. But my number one receiver can't just make spectacular plays. He's got to make consistent plays, game in, game out, every day. Yes, I believe he's a 1B, a number two his whole career, but we'll average 22 yards a catch. Yes.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, he caught the nice touchdown, perfect throw by Ben, you know, over the top. But then, you know, there were a couple of plays. It was a third down play where Ben threw the ball a little bit high. Ball went through his hands. You know, threw him a bunch of bubble screens yesterday. He's not able to break that first tackle to make that bubble screen go for really anything.
That's exactly right.
You know, especially on third down, it looked like they were doing they did a really good job blanketing Hines Ward. And it just, he tried to make Mike Wallace his third down guy, try to turn him into that. It was, you know, it wasn't him. You know, he tried to go to him on the 4th-and-5 play. You know, it's just, I think Pittsburgh really needs, even if Hines Ward does come back, I think they need one more receiver. I know they drafted Limus Sweet a few years ago early. He didn't pan out. You know, I just think they need not a deep threat. They need that sort of like a Donald Driver type,
yep.
a possession guy on third down, where if Hines Ward is getting blanketed, he has that sort of safety valve to throw to.
Yep, and Limus Sweet's a lemon, my man. Sorry to tell
you. I liked him in college. You know,
yeah,
I liked him a lot.
He was a hell of a player at Texas. He's a game breaker. But he hasn't translated to the NFL and is never going to be that guy, unfortunately. But you're right. At this stage, if Hines does play next year, he probably won't play past that.
Right.
You know, he's getting his body so beat up because he plays like a linebacker. They definitely got to start to get a guy and have. I mean, if I was Pittsburgh too, I know it's going to sound crazy. I'd actually say, Hines, you can play one more year, but we're going to make you our receiver coach the second you're done playing. You're staying on staff.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a job, all you got to do is go from your football pants to your sweatpants or to your shorts. Please stay on staff and come coach my wide receivers so they understand how to do it. We'll make that transformation right. And I don't even, you know what I'm saying? I don't even know who the receiver coach is. No disrespect.
Yeah, neither do I.
The guy becomes my receiver coach and he stays on staff right then and there without any. I don't need any coaching experience. The guy's got it by playing. So yes, they got to go get a guy. And trying to make Mike Wallace your go-to 3rd-and-7 guy. Would be like making a finesse runner your short yardage goal line guy.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Not what you do. And where he'll be effective in 3rd and 6 and 7 is when he's beat you deep a few times and he sells the deep route and then boom pulls up with a little, ten-yard curl route or an outcut because you think you're running by him. That's when he's your go-to guy on third and seven on single coverage outside that he sprints by you, puts his foot in the ground and does it. But right. if the corner's going to set up and play him, you got to have a guy that can push, shove, and then and run a slant route and take three hits. I'm not so sure that he's going to be able to take a constant pounding of punishment. And if you're Pittsburgh, you don't want to do that to him because then you take away the only home run threat you have be down the field past 10 yards.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, we talk about Green Bay. Green Bay has an easier road to the Super, you know, easier road back because I think the NFC is was weaker than the AFC. When I look at Pittsburgh, you know, yeah, they could make it back, but I think, you know, as far as receivers, they need to add a receiver, and I think they need to do something to the corners.
There's no doubt.
They were exposed yesterday.
Yep.
You know, we said they could be exposed. I think they need to improve that secondary because I think Green Bay kind of showed, and other teams have tried this, that if you spread them out, you could throw to the outside on them.
Did we not go in with a game plan? Let's pat ourselves on the back. Went in with a game plan, and I said last week they're going to spread them out.
Yep.
And you and I came in, going to spread them out, and that's what they did.
Yep.
They ran 13 times. They spread them out. They saw blitzes wherever they were coming from. You've got a quarterback whose release, getting the ball out of his hand, and nobody gets rid of the ball quicker than that dude.
No.
And with Ackerman, you can't even drive on the football because the ball's out of his hand. And then when you turn your head as a corner, it's already in the receiver's arms with accuracy that, you know, it's so pinpoint you can't defend it. Well, that being said, and Pittsburgh had some decent coverage. We also said that if you're going to attack, you attack outside, down the stem, the outside lanes, and you can beat Pittsburgh there. That's exactly what they did.
Yep.
And then the quarterback just plays out of his mind week in and week out. And you're right, with Pittsburgh, and overall, the conference, and you and I both know this, the AFC overall,
yeah,
for the most part, is deeper.
Mm-hmm.
But now, and Pittsburgh for them, because you know what, you get to a point, and they do such a great job of retooling, but you've got to, you know what's ironic, here they're playing in the Super Bowl, and they really don't have a ton of offensive, they got more defensive playmakers than offensive playmakers.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah.
They really don't have, I mean, Mendenhall's got home run hitter in him at times.
Mm-hmm.
He's not Chris Johnson, he's not Adrian Peterson, but he'll give you that once in a while. Good player. Solid player and a solid starter in the league. Your tight end's good, Heath Miller, but you know he's not Jermaine Finley. And then you look on the outside. Hines Ward's great. I want him on my team, but his best years are behind him as far as is route running.
Mm-hmm.
And Wallace, who's a home run hitter, but you know what? Okay, I'll give you up one, but I'll beat you more often than not. So they really don't have a ton of playmakers, and for them to continue to compete. As the Jets continue to rise with the Patriots with Brady and going to the NFC with Freeman and with Matt Ryan and the Roddy Whites of the world and the playmakers around the league, and then obviously in Green Bay, they are going to have to do what Pittsburgh does as good as anybody, retool. But their retool's got to be more than just the physical offensive line, which they got to get also. They've got to get the perimeter, which is the truth is there's very, very few teams that have made it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That have had, and I don't want to say weaker, but that have had less guys that can beat you on the perimeter than that football team. And that's a tribute to Pittsburgh overcoming some weaknesses because they are. If you played Pittsburgh every week and you had to say just take away the perimeter, they're not going to beat you that much other than the quarterback who's an unbelievable play extender.
Mm-hmm. No, you're exactly right. You know, like I guess I spoke about it with you last week. It was you look at what Ben's done with what's around him. You know, there's, you know, those game-winning drives and putting games away with not much, you know, he's throwing to rookies, he's throwing to guys you really don't hear much of. You know, he makes everybody around him, but at some point, you know, you got to give him somebody that he can trust on third down. That's what as Hines Ward starts to wind down, that was his guy. I think, you know, they need to bring somebody else in to take that role up, you know, at some point. You know, Heath Miller,
yep.
You know, he's a good guy, but
he'll be a better player if they were better on the perimeter. He'd be a better tight end if they were, and he's a good player, but he's not Heath Miller's not going to go Jason Witten on you and catch nine balls each week and change a game around because he's their best receiver. He's just not.
No, if they lined up Heath Miller like the Cowboys do Jason Witten constantly outside, maybe he could. But
yeah,
he's
absolutely.
On the line of scrimmage.
But the Cowboys can do that because they've got some more explosive guys on the perimeter. You know what
right.
I mean? They've got guys that you have to defend, so you can flex a guy like Jason Witten out, and he's getting a linebacker or a safety on him, which is a mismatch. Right now, you can cover the inside receivers on certain parts of the Pittsburgh Steelers with a linebacker, you don't have to substitute a lot of times.
Right. Another receiver will help that because you can
no doubt
flex him outside and do things.
No doubt.
Other things.
No doubt. So,
all right, Sean.
Before I let you go, are you Are you footballed out, my man? Are you ready for some, you know, little hockey run, a little hoops run, and some baseball?
I am. I said it after the game was over. You know, after the game ended last night, I said I could finally breathe and relax a little bit. You know, I can sort of take everything else now in stride. But I mean, the Knicks, my Rangers, you know, and I don't care about the Mets, but I get into baseball anyway. I watch it. I have the baseball package. I'll watch every game. But you know, as far as like, no, now it's hockey and basketball for me. More so hockey. I like watching the Rangers more than I do the Knicks. But hopefully by the next time I talk to you, I'm hoping that Carmelo will be a Knick by the time you're back on the air.
You know what? You Facebook me, bud. And I'm going to leave you my number because I'm taking off for 2 weeks, and I'm going to suggest to them that three or four of the days, maybe next week or even this week, that you can, if you're interested in it, put yourself out there if you and your buddy want to possibly do the show for a week.
Yeah.
I'll just let me know. Facebook me. Leave me your cell phone number, and I'll text you. I haven't even talked to the boss about what they're going to do, but if there's a few days that are open there, my first choice is to go with not people who have current shows. My first choice would be to go with you or AC or D-Man and Jane. I'd like my people that call in to have an opportunity. I'd actually like two of my people that call in to actually kind of do the John Clayton, Sean Salisbury point counterpoint for 2 hours on a show. So let me know what's going on, my man, and see if I can arrange to get you on.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll Facebook you my number.
That'd be great, my man. Just send it to my inbox.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, buddy. Appreciate you.
All right, Sean. Have a good one. Enjoy your vacation.
Take a deep breath and enjoy, man. Thank you very much.
All right, take care.
All right. I got the best. I do. I want to give my guys like AC, and I know they all got jobs that they got to go to, but I'm one of those that I'll let people come in here and do it. The fans deserve it. And you know what? There's a hidden gem on the football field. There's also a hidden gem with the intelligence of the people who call in my show. They know sports. They deserve an opportunity. And if I can arrange it, I'll give them one. And I also, by the way, Anthony, I talked to my guy with the Daytona 500. He's working on your two tickets. I didn't forget about you. I never do. You guys are my people. We'll be right back. It's Voice America Sports. We're unfiltered. I'm in Las Vegas, about to truck my way back to Dallas. Start my vacation. That doesn't sound right, does it? I'm in Vegas. I should be keeping my vacation. I'm headed back home. We'll be right back.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Don't miss the show that gives you exclusive access to your favorite pro athletes off the field and in our communities. Join host Nick Murphy for Heroes Radio. Hear it directly from the source as we take you behind the scenes with your favorite stars. It's sports, community, entertainment, and fun. And it's all part of Heroes Radio. Tune in Friday afternoons at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific, only on the Voice America Sports Channel.
We some hard hitters, we some hard hitters.
Hard-hitting radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard-hitting radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
Are you ready to talk football with the greatest wide receiver player and coach in NFL history? Tune in to Wide Open with Andre Rison. Andre is ready to talk to you and give his thoughts on the sport. There'll be celebrity guests, coaches, players, artists, and more. He'll go beyond the game with a look from the coach's point of view and feature a high school player each week. Tune in to Wide Open with host Andre Rison, featured Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need a
punch his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Voice America Sports, we're unfiltered. It'd be nice just to know the words and take your beautiful voice, which Christina Aguilera has, just know the words to our national anthem and actually don't make a mockery of it. Actually sing it properly and with respect. If you want to do the, you know, the Whitney Houston version, I was at the Marvin Gaye national anthem at the Los Fabulous Forum in Los Angeles just a while before his dad, you know, shot and killed him, and one of the great renditions of all time. You can find it on YouTube. It had a little bit of spice to it. It's the only national anthem I've ever been to where the crowd actually was swaying back and forth and clapping during the national anthem. But it was done in such a honorable, respectful, soulful fashion that you said if you're going to add your spice to it, that's the way to do it. But to make it your agenda for the national anthem, if we're going to continue to do this, if you can't do it, this is not generalizing everybody. A lot of times we say always and never, and those are two strong words. But we're getting to the point now, if it's going to be like this, where people butcher it and don't know it and respect it, just have our military talent sing it every single time in all these stadiums. Humiliating. Humiliating. And it's amazing we're talking about this in the Super Bowl. That I guess I didn't see the halftime show, but I guess it was awful, as Anthony said, and I'd heard it. People said it was terrible. And then the national anthem, you know, come on now, please. And Christina Aguilera can sing. But that'll put some tarnish on her. Super Bowl, you don't know the words and you can't actually sing it with respect. Awful. Let's get out to my man D-Man out in Arizona, where I'm going to be heading sometime in March. D-Man, what's going on, bud? First of all, did you hear the national anthem?
I didn't hear it.
Well, you didn't miss anything other than
I didn't get to see it.
What's that?
I said I was actually at work, so I did not get to see it.
Okay, well, you didn't miss much other than a butcher job. So did you watch the game?
I got to see the second half. I'm going to tell you something. I think we both talked about this. Ben Roethlisberger, great season. No one thought Pittsburgh would get there. I didn't think Pittsburgh was the best team in the AFC. I thought that was New England. So for them to get there, to count their blessings, and usually Pittsburgh doesn't go to the Super Bowls and lose. But I'm going to tell you something. Let's take it back to what we've been saying all year, and it seems like everybody's trying to jump on the bandwagon, is that Aaron Rodgers is an elite quarterback in the NFL. 300 yards passing, no picks. I mean, he controlled the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. And
of the current NFL players right now, and AC, you know I've been on his jock all year, how I feel about the guy. I've loved him from day one. He's the reason why I picked them in August, and he did nothing but extend that and validate that to me even more so with his postseason performance, which to me, you know, we got Mr. October. Aaron Rodgers became Mr. January and February with the way he performed. I said right now if I had the first pick of the draft of current NFL players, I'd take him first.
Yeah, the guy is just phenomenal. He's phenomenal, and it killed me. I'm sitting there watching all ESPN, whatever, and you listen to what they say. Hey, is Aaron Rodgers this? Is Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers, whether he won that Super Bowl or not, Aaron Rodgers is an elite quarterback in that league, period, hands down. Anybody who's questioning that is just silly. It's just silly. That guy he picked the Steelers apart.
He makes it look. And remember what I said, and I might have told it to you, but I've said it on this airwaves, and I've said it to people in the past, whether it's on TV or in any situation. He make great quarterbacks in those clutches. Go back to Montana. He looked bored when he played. Now, you know what I'm saying? Everything just kind of rolls. You know, Brady.
Yeah, exactly.
He looks bored. And Aaron Rodgers, it almost looked like
like when he breaks the huddle, you know, he's always got his chin strap undone. He kind of buttons his chin strap, strolls to the line of scrimmage, sense of urgency, but no panic. But it's almost as if you could see him yawning, even though he was, you know, yawning between plays, like, man, this is pretty easy. Because trust me, folks, watch me play and then watch Aaron Rodgers, and I'll show you it ain't that easy. He's really special.
He's really good. And I'll tell you what, if the wide receiver that dropped like four passes.
That's a 400-yard day, my man.
Yeah. I mean, the guy drops four big-time passes that were right there. I mean, what can you say? Pittsburgh lost to the better team, and that was the best team in the NFC, and they were beat up all year long. So that just tells you how good Green Bay really is. They dominated the Steelers. The game should not have even been that close.
Would you have, and it's a great point by you, would you, if you had money on the line and had to push it all on one side of the table, would you place it on Green Bay to win the NFC again next year?
Yeah. I mean, the team was, I mean, they beat the Steelers without Rod Woodson in the second half.
And no Donald Driver.
Come on.
Yeah.
That team is unbelievable.
If
and like I told you, they weren't even together all year long.
If I told 16 you.
16 players on IR.
D-Man, second most, to, I believe the Colts were first with a couple more than that. D-Man, if I told you that they would go into a game, any other team for the most part, and run 13 times and win, you would have laughed, right?
Yeah. And without their best defense, one of the best MVP of the year. Defensive
yep.
player of the year last year.
Yep.
Without him.
Yep. Pretty amazing.
Without
and
him.
All it did was take the, you know, this almost, like fake story, like I mean, two movie script. I mean, season for Aaron Rodgers, and almost say, come on, we can't cap it off with they ran 13 times, and the guy had played MVP in the Super Bowl without a couple of his top players, and come on, man, you can't really say that he did not load him up when everybody knew that he had to throw to win and still win.
Yeah,
and I mean, he put a stamp on the final chapter, didn't he, for this season?
This season, and I'm going to tell you what they did. They set themselves up for next year because, you know, next year they're going to have a running game.
Oh,
next
yes,
year,
they are.
If they're able to get 100 yards rushing the football and plus Aaron Rodgers, how do you stop that team?
You won't. That team will be 14-2 and be sitting on home field advantage if they want next year.
Oh, my gosh. That's
hey,
the thing that scared me.
They are. I mean, they're building something really, really special in Green Bay, and it's good to see because you know what? There's not it's a tough team not to like. Whether you're a Packer fan or not, it's a tough team not to like because they don't do a lot of jawing. You know, the most celebratory thing they do is the Lambeau leap, and that's got a whole bunch of tradition. Other than that, they just play good football, man, and take care of their business. And I thought it was really amazing to watch how they have transformed this team. For remember now, in the middle of December, you and I were talking. Well, not sure they can get in the playoffs now. They're in trouble.
Yeah.
Ho-hum, single elimination pressure for about seven straight games.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you something. If you thought this Super Bowl was special, you wait the next year because you know you're going to have New England and you know it's going to be the Packers. New England and the Packers in the Super Bowl.
Oh, and you know,
I'm calling it right now.
And so you're calling that right now? New England
I'm
Packers?
I'm calling that right now.
Fair enough. And you know New England's got two ones, two twos, and two threes in the draft.
Yeah, they should have been there this year. I mean, the worst thing that happened to them is they had that week off. And the Jets got up for that game.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, I just don't see how New England doesn't get to the Super Bowl next year.
And
they're in the Super Bowl next year.
And you know,
New England and Green Bay.
They're going to be pissed off, and they're holding the chip will be bigger than life on their shoulder. And that being said, you don't think that Aaron Rodgers would like the opportunity to roll up against Tom Brady, who many think is going down? You don't think that'd be a decent quarterback matchup, do you?
Man, that's what I'm waiting on.
I'm taking a little time off, but I'll be out in Arizona, so we will definitely hook up in the next 30 days, 20 days or so.
All right, let's do that.
Stay in touch
man.
I said I appreciate you.
Okay, brother, I'm going to get on Facebook and shoot you my cell phone number, okay?
Dude, drop it on my inbox, man.
Okay, brother.
Appreciate it, bud. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
D-Man out in Arizona. I'll be headed there. I spend my birthday in March every year in Scottsdale for the most part. My favorite time of year is going to spring training, playing golf in the morning, going to spring training, hanging around, going to day games, and sitting with a couple of buddies in a pair of shorts and watching baseball. Love it. I do. I know you guys think I'm wacko. I've never been to spring training in Florida. I'm a diehard Sox fan. You'd think I'd go to the Red Sox, and you'd think I'd go to Florida and be a part of that. It's just, it's, I love Arizona, the dry heat, I guess. But, you know, I may have to trek out. I'm actually going to Florida this week, but for a celebrity golf tournament for the handicap, and I'm really looking forward to it. It'll be in the Miami area, but I don't go to, I've never been to Florida spring training. To Tampa to watch the Yankees, never been. I might have to go out there. I mean, I'm an Arizona spring training guy. There's so many of them in the weather and the rest of it, but, you know, maybe I owe it to go out there. But I love this time of year, and then March Madness. It's one of my favorite times, and it also shows me that school's going to be out in a couple months, get my kids back to have some fun, and I love it. I love that time of year. And it's also a time of year where you start to say, okay, where's my career going? What show? I got the new show coming out. I'm excited about it all, and I'm just grateful to be a part of it, and I just like the low-key part of it, and I'm footballed out. But you know what? We can't be footballed out because you're going to be talking about the lockout. And don't call it a strike, folks. The players aren't striking. The owners are trying to lock them out. So remember, this is a lockout. And it may end up being a walkout if it doesn't get fixed. The draft coming up. Free agency is going to be after the draft, or is it going to be before? I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. And so there'll be a lot of stories and sidebars rolling on as we head throughout this offseason. So we're not going away from football, but the constant grind of games and preparing and X's and O's and talking about it, now we just get to go and look at a team like New England, as D-Man said, with all those draft picks at the top of the draft. How does that not team? How does a team that really was the best team in the AFC all year long and had a and stubbed their toe at the wrong time, how does that team not get better? Which is kind of scary. We'll see where they go. Are they going to get the game-breaking wideout early in the or sometime in this draft to replace the speed of Randy Moss to see if they can stretch the field again? And they, Tom Brady, by the way, folks, over the weekend was the unanimous choice. The unanimous choice. First ever to win the MVP award. We're going to come back, talk a little bit of Hall of Fame. Yep, talk a little bit of Hall of Fame. Yes, there's snubs. I don't know how Chris Carter doesn't get in. But we can say that about a lot of guys. Congratulations to those that did. Voice America Sports, I'm Sean Salisbury. We are Unfiltered.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post on our wall your thoughts about our shows and network. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Are you ready to talk football with the greatest wide receiver player and coach in NFL history? Tune in to Wide Open with Andre Rison. Andre is ready to talk to you and give his thoughts on the sport. There'll be celebrity guests, coaches, players, artists, and more. He'll go beyond the game with a look from the coach's point of view and feature a high school player each week. Tune in to Wide Open with host Andre Rison, featured Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Get the inside scoop on the Georgia Bulldogs. Tune in to Keelan Johnson on College Football Game Day on the radio and every day on KeelanJohnson.com. On Keelan's Keeping It Real Radio, you can talk to Keelan and his former teammates about the Bulldogs, college football, and all things sports. Keelan's the go-to analyst for Bulldog football on pre- and post-game television on KeelanJohnson.com. And now, every week on the Voice America Sports Channel. Tune in every college game day for Keelan Johnson, Keeping It Real Radio. Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific.
Do you feel the need for speed? Whatever your addiction, NASCAR, IndyCar, NHRA, Formula One, or even lawnmower racing, Pit Pass USA has got you covered. Larry Henry here, host of Pit Pass USA. I put my 30-plus years of being a motorsports broadcaster to work to bring you not only the best guests, but also the most interesting guests in racing. Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry, your front row seat to the world of racing. Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel. Be there or get a DNF.
Do you love sports talk?
Can't get enough sports talk?
Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific.
Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bitch his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to seansals@gmail.com. That's seansals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
We're going to wind this show up about 15 minutes. And for those who see my post on Facebook, when it came out Aaron Rodgers, R-O-G-E-R-S, it's obviously R-O-D-G, typo. That's one thing. You can't go back and like fix it without having to do every single thing else to fix it. But typos you can't control. You get the gist. Rodgers, Rodgers, R-O-D-G, R-O-G, E-R-S. But if I was starting a team today and had a draft and people send in, and what about Manning? You know, what about Brady? I didn't say over the course. I'm talking health, age, starting a team today of current NFL players, I draft Aaron Rodgers first. Yes, ahead of Brady. Yes, ahead of Breeze. Yes, ahead of Manning. Period. Period. Hall of Fame. Now, I don't know Les Richter. Congratulations. I'll have to talk about what I do know. I don't want to leave names out. I'm going off the top of my head because that's what I do on these things. And Ed Sable, father of Steve Sable, NFL Films. Without NFL Films, folks, we wouldn't have. Matter of fact, you should make him a unanimous choice. Ed Sable and Steve will get him in, because without NFL Films, you don't get to see the pictures and the voices and the sounds that you have now. NFL Films may be the greatest thing that's ever happened to the NFL. I'm serious. Congratulations, Ed Sable. Chris Hamburger, wonderful career in Washington, has waited a long time for this, and in that no-name defense, and, you know, what do they call it? What did George Allen call it? Just a bunch of veterans running around. You know, you may not know the Byron Talberts of the world. Just a bunch of guys that you really, Pat Fishers, all kinds of wonderful players. But not a lot of guys that you would know and names. And a lot of the old school, new school, don't know who Chris Hamburger was. An undersized linebacker who could run for the Washington Redskins, who were really, really good. And there was a name that George Allen gave him. I think we were naming them the Killer Bees in Miami, and they might have been a no-name defense in Miami also. That might have been where they had. But there's a over-the-hill gang, I think is what George Allen called them, the over-the-hill gang. Just a bunch of misfits and kind of old school throwbacks, and Billy Kilmer with the one bar across. But Chris Hamburger was a hell of a football player. Got in. Deserved it. Shannon Sharp, numbers wise, I don't see how you can argue with that. Shannon Sharp deserved to be in, and I'm glad they put him in. He deserved it. Richard Dent. I thought Richard Dent should have gone in ahead of Dan Hampton years ago for Chicago. Because when we played against Chicago, we were never worried about, you got to stop Dan Hampton, you got to stop Steve McMichael, both good players. But we were worried about, you had to control Richard Dent. And I think it was long overdue for Richard Dent to get in. I do. And he did, which is great. Who else we got? Obviously, Marshall Faulk. It's a no-brainer. Marshall Faulk, I told people that Curtis Martin wasn't going to get in. Told people that Andre Reed wasn't going to get in. I'm not saying they don't deserve it. I'm just saying neither would. I told people Jerome Bettis wasn't going to get in. The NFL, I don't know what it is with the Hall of Fame committee, doesn't want to vote like two or three guys in at one position. They don't want to do it. Don't know why, but they don't want to do it. And they never do it, except once in a blue moon. You'll get two quarterbacks in one year. I just don't get it. I don't understand it, but Marshall Faulk in, could have started at wide receiver and made a Pro Bowl there too, but a running back in the Hall of Fame, no-brainer there. Deion Sanders, I said on a TV show over the weekend on Fox, I said if Deion Sanders doesn't get in, then we need to strip these guys of their ballots. because there's no question. So let's see. Richter Sable, Hamburger. Shannon Sharp, which was a for sure. Marshall Faulk, Deion Sanders. And I think did I say Richard Dent? Am I missing somebody? If I am, let me know, because I don't want to miss out on anybody. Congratulations to all those who got in. And there's going to be snubs every year. The biggest one, I think, is Chris Carter. His numbers bear it out. The best hands I ever played with on a football team. Great body control. I'm not sure what they're waiting for and why Chris, they didn't put him in. I don't know what they want, what proof they're looking for. Is it because he doesn't have a Super Bowl ring? Is that it? I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it's because he hasn't won a Super Bowl ring, but I'm not quite sure why he continues to be punished for that. You know, it's a team game, and the Hall of Fame really is a team award given to an individual who played within the system. But Chris Carter deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. But you know what? Every year that goes by, it gets more frustrating and more frustrating for him, I'm sure. And, you know, it's interesting. You think about the team that I played on. I mean, some of those, the roster, you look at it, Gary Zimmerman, Hall of Famer. And it's shocking that we didn't win more, you know, and even though Warren Moon wasn't there a lot of years, Warren Moon, quarterback, and Gary and the guys weren't there. I'm talking about at different times when I was in Minnesota. Moon, quarterback, Randall McDaniel, guard, Gary Zimmerman, tackle, and John Randall, defensive lineman. Chris Carter, who was going to be a Hall of Famer sooner or later. You're talking about over the course of while I was on that team, were five, six Hall of Famers rolling through there. Amazing. And all but Warren Moon on the team, all on the same team at the same time. The four guys, Chris Dolman was on that team, Keith Millard, who was a defensive MVP. But you look at that team, the two, Zimmerman and Randall McDaniel, Chris Carter, who's going to get in but got snubbed, but he's a Hall of Famer, and John Randall, all four on the same team at the same time. Pretty impressive. And not to have a Super Bowl, a bummer. A bummer. A lot of talent on that team, and that's not even to mention Dolman led the league in sacks 1 year. Keith Millard was a defensive player of the year. John Randall was the one who was undrafted and got the Hall of Fame before any of them on the defensive side. Pretty special. So I'm not sure. I hope I named the list of the Hall of Famers, but Richard Dent, great pass rusher. Marshall Faulk, so versatile and changed, you know, did a great job of he was LaDainian Tomlinson before Tomlinson was Tomlinson when he came into the league. Truth is, Marcus Allen was those guys before, and Roger Craig were those guys before Marshall Faulk and LT came into the league. So this really isn't just something new where we have a versatile running back who's smart, can catch the ball out of the backfield and run it and do all of it. Didn't Roger Craig have 1,000 yards receiving and 1,000 yards rushing in the same season from a running back position? No, he's not in the Hall of Fame, and he's not going to be. An impressive career, but you know, there's snubs and it's going to go on, but there are certain guys. I'm not sure a guy like Curtis Martin, as good as he's done, will ever get in. You're not going to put Andre Reed and Chris Carter in at the same time. Somebody's going to get screwed over, and I would imagine Andre's going to be the one on the outside looking in, which is too bad. Went to four Super Bowls with the team, even though they didn't win one. I don't know if you'll ever see that happen again, four in a row. I don't believe you'll ever see it happen again. Not only losing four in a row, but being in four in a row. So congratulations to the class of 2011 Hall of Fame inductee or voted in. And well-deserved. An elite class, less than 300 members in the NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame. Pretty amazing, isn't it, of all the years we've played? As a matter of fact, they might be around 250. It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Impressed with them. Impressed with everything they do. If you look at these two Super Bowl rosters, you start to think, can you play it out? And let me backtrack for a second. Willie Rolfe, 12 or 13 Pro Bowls. Dermonte Dawson was the most dominant center of his time. Neither one get in. I know you can vote Max a 7 in, but you know it comes a point in time, guys get left out just because guys don't want to put him in. 13 Pro Bowls seems like a Hall of Fame numbers to me. But then again, I don't believe Willie Rofe has a Super Bowl ring. And you get punished for that, which is too bad. I still go back. I don't know how Ray Guy's not in the Hall of Fame, the Raiders punter. The best punter of all time, period. Change the game. And special teams are important. Just ask any guy who has to deal with special teams and coach it against it or coach it. How they're not in the Hall of Fame, I don't know. Ray Guy, the best punter of all time, game changer. And every Raider that's ever played and every opponent that ever played against him will tell you that he changed the way that the Raiders could play football because of the way he flipped field position. Look at the two games here. I mean, look at just progress it forward. I always love people give numbers. Like, there's somebody out there who at one point had told me that Teddy Bruschi's going to be. Teddy Bruschi's not going to the Hall of Fame. Good player, not a Hall of Famer. Trust me, he's not going to the Hall of Fame. And you take a look, Rodney Harrison, I think, was the most, did you think, well, he's the one who should be going to the Hall of Fame for New England, and he may not ever get in. He may never get in. People hold a grudge against guys who, you know, were physical and played, and some called it dirty. Rodney played hard. Former teammate of mine, love him. Safeties, for some reason, have a hard time getting in, and I don't know why. But you start to play it out and push it forward and look at these two teams, and, you know, while they're having early good careers, people just throw the word Hall of Fame out there like it grows on trees and it's just another piece of fruit. It ain't easy to get in, folks. It isn't easy to get in. You take a look at the Pittsburgh Steelers' current roster. How many Hall of Famers are on it? Hines Ward, possibly. You take a look, though. Chris Carter's nine. Hines Ward's got Super Bowl rings. That's going to be his advantage, but Andre and Chris aren't in yet. Took Art Monk all the time. Is Hines Ward, was he spectacular enough? I think he's a Hall of Famer. A winner, obviously, maybe the best blocking receiver of all time, and Rod Smith out in Denver. Rod's not going to go to the Hall of Fame because he's not a self-promoter. Did his job, great blocker, consistent receiver, wasn't spectacular when it came to, you know, standing out because he was a 4-3 guy. But he's got Hall of Fame numbers and Super Bowl rings and blocking to boot. So Hines Ward, Steelers, Polamalu, if you're assuming he's going to continue to play this way over an extended amount of time, you could say him. On else the defense side of the ball, James Harrison right now, people say, what about James Harrison? He's not a Hall of Famer right now. He'd have to do what he's doing for another eight, nine years to be a Hall of Famer. And it could happen, potential. But if he plays like Terrell Davis isn't getting in. For 5 years, he was the best running back in the league. He's not getting in the Hall of Fame. Didn't sustain it long enough. That ain't going to happen. It's the same thing if James Harrison continues to win MVP awards and they win Super Bowl rings 5-8 years from now. We'll be talking about it. But is there Hines Ward and Troy Polamalu on a team? And then Ben Roethlisberger. You know, he's been in 3 Super Bowls in 6 years, won 2. Numbers, if he, you know, his numbers may not stand out, but he wins. And if he wins another 1 or 2 and plays another 10 years, you know, his name obviously will have to be thrown in there. But Kenny Stabler, similar. Stabler's a Super Bowl winner. Didn't have gaudy numbers. Was a clutch player. Under pressure, he was as good as anybody we had. And Kenny Stabler's not in. Kind of like Ben. Difference is Ben extends the play far, but Kenny couldn't run to save a lick. Or his life. So, really, you look at that roster and you think, okay, who's a Hall of Famer? I just named 3. And those are all... Not a one of them right now is a shoe-in. Polamalu would probably be the biggest shoe-in if he continued along with Ben. But are they shoe-ins? There's been a lot of guys that you think are shoe-ins that don't get in. On Green Bay's roster, well, you know, Rodgers obviously a long ways away. If he does what he's doing now for the next 10 years, wins another Super Bowl or so, yes, he's got that kind of numbers. But you can't, folks, we can't even parlay that out because it's too far away. But you just look at Charles Woodson. If Charles quit tomorrow, he would have to get strong consideration. He's won a defensive MVP, now has a Super Bowl, has been to the Pro Bowl numerous times, is a captain of this team. You'd have to consider him. Out of the two teams we named, he's probably the closest to the guarantee right now, if there is such a thing in Hall of Fame voting. There's no other offensive player on Green Bay other than projected down the field Rodgers, down his career Rodgers, and Woodson. Now, Clay Matthews, if he continues to do this for the next, if he has the durability of his first of all, his grandfather didn't win a Super Bowl, played pro football. His daddy played for a lot of years, didn't win a Super Bowl. And his uncle, Bruce, played for a lot of years, didn't win a Super Bowl. Between the dad and the uncle, almost 40 years of NFL experience, didn't win a Super Bowl. Now, if he's able to take on and have the same durability as his dad and his uncle and play like he, like his dad and uncle and play like this, well, he's a Hall of Famer, because the Matthews family, with all due respect to the Manning family, Archie, Peyton, and Eli, and you'd probably have to put them up there because they got two Super Bowl rings between them and all three were first-round draft picks. You'd have to say that the Manning family is kind of the football family, but the Matthews, if they're not one, they're not three. They're not far behind. Tremendous durability in both families, but you look at it, and so if Clay is able to have the durability of his daddy, no doubt. But of all the guys we just named, you'd have to say Charles Woodson, because he's had the longest career of the group and the most successful, along with Hines Ward. But if you had to choose between Woodson and Ward, I'll bet you Woodson would get in first. Not because he's better, but thinking how the voters think. A little wacko. So among all the great players, think about it now, how that class is tough to get in. But congratulations to those who did. Pretty special. I love it. I think it's awesome. Should be proud. Your families, you'll never ever be known as, I mean, you'll always be able to sign HOF, baby. Deion Sanders, Hall of Famer. There's less than 300 of you in the football world. It's a unique group. And to those who didn't get in, that many of us think they deserve it, there's a Super Bowl next year. Be patient. I ain't ever getting in to any Hall of Fame. I wouldn't even get in I'm trying to get to be a household name in my own home. Thank you guys very much to all my callers. Appreciate you guys. D-Man, AC, Anthony, emailer Susie, everybody involved in a great show. And congratulations to the Steelers and the Packers and to the Packers. You are world champs and earned it. You were football's best team. And this year, in my opinion, the way the playoffs, you've got a tremendous, your superstar at quarterback. What a way to build it. Filled those shoes in Green Bay really fast. I'm Sean Salisbury. Folks, I'm on vacation for a couple weeks, but stay right here. You'll 9 to 11. You'll still get your sports. I may even call in and be a guest on one of my own shows. Have a great one. Again, congratulations. I'm trucking my way home. Enjoy your off season, if there is such a thing. We'll talk to you soon. I'm Sean Salisbury for Voice America Sports and to Voice America Sports and Chad and the group. Thank you. We are unfiltered. Have a great day, folks.
Thanks for tuning in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. We hope you'll come back weekdays at 10 a.m. in the East, 7 a.m. in the West, on the Voice America Sports Channel. Take care.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.